are going on an adventure today, and to guide us through this adventure, we have Maria, who is the owner of Burn Series and one of their key race directors, putting on events in the southern part of the UK for adventure racing. Maria, how are we doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you for inviting me along to your podcast.
No worries. Thank you for joining us and for kind of giving us a bit more insight into the world of adventure racing as a whole, and like mainly here in the UK. Like, let's have a little bit of background about yourself. How did you get into adventure racing?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I have been immersed in this incredible world of adventure racing for about 16, 17 years now. I think my first proper expedition adventure race was in Ireland back in 2007. And I threw myself absolutely in the deep end. I started with the long, really serious, hard stuff, and then I kind of reeled myself back in and got more into the more local things. But yeah, I've been competing on both the European and the World Series for a number of years. And I also do sort of other expeditions and adventures. I've been down to the South Pole, and I've, you know, cycled across Siberia, and I've done lots of different things like that. So yeah, definitely in my blood.
Wow.
Yeah. And and was very much the reason why I decided to set up my own adventure racing company, because I think everyone should be passionate about the business that they do. And that's me to a T, basically.
No, very true. Wow, that's a great history in the sport, I guess. And I think you kind of started it off there. So the long course of adventure racing is kind of what more people see. But I believe like the Burn Series that you started kind of focuses a little bit more on the shorter one day style, or even less in hours, number of hours to complete the event.
Yeah.
So why did you tend to go for the shorter version with your series instead of like a longer one? Is it more introductory friendly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to give you a bit of background, adventure racing is still a pretty new sport. And if you mention adventure racing to anyone, they sort of automatically think about very long distance. They think expedition, they think multiple days crossing countries, etc. And really that is where adventure racing began. So it was in, I think it was 1989, the first Raid Galois race, which was a long distance, you know, 500-700 kilometres crossing a country in a team of people using a multiple of modes of transport, so by foot, by bike, by kayak, all non-motorized obviously, and self-navigated. And from that, adventure racing really began. And and then it was Mark Burnett back in 1992 that came up with, as a lot of us know about, the Eco Challenge. And if you're a Prime member of Prime Amazon member, you would have probably seen the Eco Challenge that was fronted by Bear Grylls. I think it was 2019. You know, that really encapsulated what expedition adventure racing is all about. It's about going to places that people haven't been to before, you know, crossing countries, being on the move nonstop for 5, 6, 7 days in teams. You know, and it is the absolute ultimate in endurance sport. You don't stop, you don't sleep. You know, it's, you know, if you snooze, you lose. It's very much kind of the saying to it. So, you know, and there's companies set up all around the world. So more locally to us, the European series, that is a series of European countries. And they have, you know, anything from 2, 3, 4, even up to 5 day expedition adventure races. So European World Series. So do have a look at that if that's the sort of time scale you're looking at. There's also then the World Series, which are the long, you know, even longer. They probably start at 4 days going up to 7, 8. I mean, there was one race, the Explore Sweden Monster Race, which was 1,000 kilometres that people were completing in sort of 6 days. You know, it's phenomenal distances. So, and you know, our country is small. Britain is pretty small. And of course, we could easily put on big expedition adventure races. And I think for an aspirational point of view, it's brilliant that these races exist. And up until now, It was James Thurlow up in the north that was running the ITERA that we briefly touched on before. This has now been taken over by Dirty Events, another company up in Scotland. So there are still some expedition races in the UK. But when I started the Burn series, it was back in 2010. And I thought, do you know what, there's almost not a lot of stepping stones for people to get into adventure racing. And that's really where my concept of the Burn series began. I wanted to actually provide the whole story. So starting from even young children. So I've got one part of the series is called the Mini Burn. So this is for family. So it could be, you know, like I've got a five and a seven year old daughter. I want to take them out and do some adventure. Well, the Mini Burn is a place for me to go, because in one day, everything's provided. You just turn up and you run, you cycle, you kayak, you navigate, you climb, you do all these brilliant things in one day as a family. So the Mini Burn is very much the grassroots and for everyone and anyone. We've had a three-year-old, we've had a 73-year-old do it. We've had four generations of one family in a team. I mean, it's incredible to see.
So that's amazing.
The Mini Burn was kind of where it really began. And out of that, then, I started to develop more of the Burn series, more focused towards adults or groups of, it could be groups of friends, it could be a corporate team, anyone really. And they're based on duration. Mm-hmm. So you've got the Burn 2, which is a two-hour, which is a two-hour race. You've got the Burn 6, which is a six-hour, Burn 12, which is a 12-hour, and a Burn 24, which is a 24-hour race. And, you know, youngsters can take part in those, but they do need to be accompanied by adults. And we have set a limit of 15 for those ones. So up until then, you would be in the Mini Burn. 15 and over, you can then go into the bigger ones. But yeah, the whole idea with the Burn series and what we are really working on at the moment is to create more events, more timely events. And up until now, really, most of my events have been based in Wales because that's where I'm based. But we've got a really exciting year coming up this year because we've got lots of events now across certainly the south of the country, and hopefully towards the end of the year we'll have some sort of in the middle and up in the north as well. The next one coming up is in Bath, which is going to be an absolutely stunning venue. And it's going to take racers on a journey around the historic sites of Bath. If you know Bath or don't, it's well worth having a look, and really impressive unseen views of Bath. So that's the whole point of when we try and put these races together, is to take people on journeys to areas, even if it's their local area, that they might not have ever been to before and seen their city or their country from a different angle. So, and they're all run by kayak, and you'll be giving a map with checkpoints on. So if you can't navigate yourself, just find someone who can navigate. That's one good way of being able to do the race without being able to navigate, because you can do it either as a solo, or you can do it as a pair, or up to a team of four. So there's lots of scope. And because it's navigation as well, and there's checkpoints, you choose your route, and hence you choose your distance. So even though it's a 6 hour race, you choose the distance you want to go, or you feel you can go in those 6 hours. So there's lots of good flexibility for everyone to get involved. And, you know, all the events are run in a very, you know, a very friendly way. Of course, we have the serious athletes that want to come and compete for the top spots, but then we also have lots of people that come just to experience it for the first time. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to get involved. And yeah, we've got races in Bath and New Forest, right over at the Thames Valley, and then in Wales at Malvern Park. We've got the Mini Burns as well in the Vale of Glamorgan at a wonderful place called Pentline Estate, which is in June. So, you know, there's lots going on now. And our website's burnseries.co.uk, so you can see everything on there.
So I'll let you ask a question now. A full race calendar for the year then. That's great. It's really good to hear about this series and how it's grown from being more like a mini one for kids and then built up. And is this the first year you're doing the series where you've got those kind of like four extra locations that you're visiting, New Forest and that?
Yeah, so adventure racing over the last few years it's really hard for organisers, because we have just done it for the love of the sport. There's not there's no money in it. And so, as you can imagine, organisers have sort of waned in the years, and there's less and less. And I've always been so passionate about it. I've put my all into this, and I want people to experience adventure racing, because it's the most incredible sport out there. It's and the fact that you do it with a team as well, it adds that whole element of teamwork and the navigation. It adds strategy as well as fitness and strength and all those other things. So, you know, it's a sport I think people need to give it a chance to see what they think of it. You don't need to be a top kayaker, you don't need to be a top mountain, but you don't need to be brilliant at any of them. And getting into it and starting off is the way, and then you'll get better and better, and hopefully the competitive streak will start to take over a lot of people and really want to give it a go. So yeah, so the new events are the ones in the Bath, New Forest, Thames Valley, so I'm working with a number of other really incredible adventure races at the moment to put on all of these races, and different event directors for each event as well, which is going to give a really good flavor of in local areas and things like that. So yeah, it's a really exciting year. We're very much looking forward to it. So
no, that's great. I think that's really good, and I think you're right, it kind of gives people an opportunity to test their foot in adventure racing. It may be a smaller level, and then build up through the different hours of events that you've got, because see, the classic adventure race people would kind of think of as the 5-day, the 7-day one that you spoke about before, but this may be a way of getting into the sport, getting a love for it, and maybe they want to stay in the short kind of course, but maybe they want to try a bigger one in the future. But you mentioned about the fitness as well. I think like the fitness behind it is a great thing, because just getting people into doing an event or exercise, they're going to have to train for this. That will get them fitter. That would kind of help their lifestyle in like a healthy way. So you don't have to be the best kayaker, but it wouldn't hurt to do some kayaking, or at least try and work on your upper body strength for that portion of the event. It's mountain biking, isn't it, as well? Yeah. So that's get out on your local mountain bike trails, maybe not on Zwift every day, try and kind of mix in a different style element of your fitness to get around the event. I'm sure the trails you're putting them on aren't super technical trails, but to be out on the bike, have good bike handling skills, that kind of stuff's got to be an advantage. And then trail running, I'm guessing most of it will be, or a mix of road and trail in some portions. So again, kind of easy, get your running shoes out, go for some runs before you get to the event, so you've got that running fitness in there, and that overall fitness. So that's really good. That's going to channel people into healthy lifestyle and that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, with all of the different sports, it's really nice to actually do it with other people, because I think you get the most out of adventure racing if you can share the experience with other people. So it could even be a case of, okay, let's get 3 or 4 or 5, however many you want, a group of people together. So from your local CrossFit box, or from, maybe your running club or something like that, and get a group of people together. And like you say, the running, it's going to be a mixture. There's going to be some hill, there's going to be some mud, there's going to be some stone, there'll be a bit of road, there's a bit of everything in there. So it's about getting out all together, see how you all, respond in different situations, because again, you've got to get the whole team to the finish line, and everyone's going to have their strengths and their weaknesses. And during a training phase, it's really useful to be able to work out, okay, well, who's the best runner? Okay, well, this person's the best runner, so then can run further and faster. So maybe they can carry a little bit more of the team kit, for example. So we there's not a lot of kit we specify, but if we know that the weather's going to be bad and it's kind of going to be on some exposed ridges, things like that, we might say, okay, well, you need to have a basic first aid kit, and you might need to have a warm layer and a waterproof, a few bits and pieces like that. On the bike, we say, you need to be able to fix your puncture if you get a puncture, so you'd want to carry a few bits and pieces like that. I think, getting out with a group of people, doing some running, cycling again, they all vary, each race very much varies. So I think that some of the South Coast ones are going to be less technical. The one that we run at Margam Park is one, and it's the only up to 50-kilometer mountain bike, which is 100% off-road, and it's on, say, forestry trails. You go all the way up to the Afan Mountain Biking World Class Trail Centre. You get to ride some of the trails there. You know, it's the most incredible route. It's beautiful. You know, having the skill, of course, you can always just ride slower. You can, you know, just take your time going down anything that's a little bit more technical. But checkpoints will always be placed in a way that you can reach them without having to do anything too technical, because, you know, we don't want to put anybody off at all. So, yeah, I mean, it's, if you can ride technically, then you're going to have a really brilliant time out on the bike. You know, if you can't, then there's going to be other options to get there. So and then, you know, the kayaking. Now, I appreciate probably hardly any of your listeners have got their own kayak sitting in their backyards ready, and let alone somewhere to go and launch it easily. So that is definitely a big like block for us in terms of trying to sell the idea to people, because everyone thinks, you know, I've never been on a boat. I have no idea how to get in it or out of it. I don't know how to hold the paddle. I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about kayaking. And that's absolutely fine. The kayaking is always the shortest stage. So you'll probably be in the kayak from anything from as short as maybe 15 minutes up to 50 minutes, maybe. So it's pretty short. We use very, very stable sit-on-top kayaks, which are really easy to get in and out of. We always have a team of water safety people there that they will help you get in the boat, get out the boat. They'll show you how to hold the paddle, put your life jacket on. They'll show you all of that. So you really don't need to worry at all about the kayaking.
You'll be safe in the boat.
You'll be safe in the boat. And the key to, because if you're doing it as a solo, you get a single kayak, so you're on your own in the boat. If you're doing it in a pair, or in a team of four, you'll get one or two double kayaks, and then there's two people in the boat. And the key is basically the first person sets the pace, so with the paddling, and the second person needs to follow that pace. You need to have the right timing. So that's really key. Just have the right timing, and the person at the back will generally do most of the steerage because you have most leverage at the back. But other than that, a lot of like the strength exercises you can absolutely do in your CrossFit box or in your gym. You know, you can work your upper body as need be. And, you know, with kayaking, it's actually far less in the arms. It's much more in the core, core, the back, the shoulders. It's much more there, far less. If you're feeling it like in your arms, in your triceps or your biceps and things like that, you're actually not doing it right. So you don't need to be some big, strong, muscly person to be able to go kayaking. It's much more sort of about the technique, the core. So, when you're next in the gym, work the core and you'll be fine. But like I say, it's a short distance in the kayaks.
There you go.
And then on the navigation front, again, that's something. So GPSs are not allowed during the race. You will be given a map with checkpoints. I know. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
We are trying to, you know, the world. No Google Maps. The world is going crazy with technology at the moment. And sometimes it's really nice to lock that phone away. Turn it all off, no notification, nothing at all, shut it away. we do insist you carry your phone because of safety reasons should you need to call us. But no, you can't use that for navigation. Again, you know, you can get out, you can download a map off the internet from your local park. There's a lot of permanent orienteering courses set up in country parks all around the country. And you can just go and grab one of those and you can go and, you know, have a little run around. Or if you're up on the Brecon Beacons or the Black Mountains or up in the peaks or, you know, wherever you might be, you can get a map and just learn, you know, where's north, where's south, you know, try and identify, okay, well, there's a hill there or there's a valley there or a stream there. And, you know, just get your head around it a little bit. But the navigation's pretty straightforward. We always put the checkpoints in pretty obvious locations. So, and at the end of the day, it's brilliant fun. Even if you do get a bit lost, it doesn't matter. We won't leave you out there on the course. Once the 6 hours or the 2 hours or the 12 or the 24 hours is up,
you'll be saved.
You will be. Yeah.
No, that's good. And I'm sure navigation, there's plenty of information online generally now with most things, like in kayaking, mountain biking. There's all information online of how you can do some of that. I think navigation might be one of the bits with event tracing. People are a bit like, oh, haven't navigated since Scouts or Cubs or something. Well, that was the last time I think I picked up a compass. Because you're right, technology has overtaking everything. My Garmin watch, basically. I can put a route in there and it will show me where to run if I'm going out for a run or on the trails or something. So yeah, it's always nice to kind of like take a step back, try and use a bit of brain power and to get that through the race. But yeah, navigation, that would be I don't know if I'd get lost, probably.
But it's also, it allows for that strategic element of racing as well, because it's not always the fastest team that wins an adventure race, because you could make a navigational error, or you could actually just choose a bad route, and therefore, you know, you may have to backtrack, or it might take a lot longer to go over a hill than it would have had you gone round it, for example. Or, you know, there's a lot of strategy, definitely. And that's when I definitely encourage people to try and participate in pairs or teams, because then you get that additional element as well of the teamwork, and you've all of a sudden you've got this sport that encompasses so much. You've got to be fit, you've got to be strong, you've got to, you know, you've got to have a certain level of skill, you've got to then have the tolerance, you've got to have the the patience, you've got to have all these other aspects when it comes to, you know, working in a team that are really important. And it's just really good fun. You're standing there, you've got the map, you've got the compass, you're with the team, you're like, right, should we go that way or that way? And everyone just tries to have a discussion and works out what's going to be best, and then off you go. And, you know, it just makes the day. You come back from a day of adventure racing and you think, you know, I've done so much, I've achieved so much, I've experienced so much, I've felt so much. You know, there's just so much more than if you just go out and go for a run following your Garmin watch, and then you come back and you've done a run and that's it, sort of thing. So you know I love running's brilliant, but you know, this just brings it all together, and it's a wonderful sport.
Definitely. And I think like you mentioned Eco Challenge before, I believe in Eco Challenge we really saw how the like the strategy made a huge difference to the event. Obviously, that was over a multiple day period, but the choices they made and the strategies they went for throughout the different different stages of the race, when they got to different like a kayak or the running section or the mountain biking section, really made a huge difference. And I think that's like a whole element to adventure racing that kind of isn't in many other sports. There, most sports is kind of pretty set. You're doing a trail run, you're doing a certain lift, or you're doing certain type of sports. It's kind of set out for you. You're doing a swim bike run, or you're doing a trail run or a road race. But this kind of strategy has a huge kind of impact on the result. Like obviously how you get through the event, how much speed you do it in. So yeah, I think that's a part of adventure racing, which is kind of a little different to other sports, which is really intriguing as well.
I think a lot of people come to adventure racing almost after they've focused on a sport for a while, or a few different sports for a while. A lot of people come to adventure racing later on. So certainly on the expedition adventure racing, I'd say, you know, the top racers and the top teams are in their 40s and 50s, because they've needed the experience, they've needed the time. And it would be nice that if we could get more people into adventure racing at a younger age, and, you know, particularly through the mini burn, through the family sort of development side of things, you know, that you don't have to wait until you're 40, 50 to actually be top of the game. That maybe when you're 30, 40, you can be top of the game. It's just the way it is at the moment that, you know, because it's not the fastest person wins race. Of course, you do need to be the fastest overall once you've brought all the strategy in. But because it's not like that, you know, it's not athletes of peak performance necessarily at the moment that are doing it, but I think more and more are starting to join, and the stakes are going to get higher, the speeds are going to get faster, and it will become a really good competitive sport. So yeah, we're really looking forward to the next few years, and as event organizers ourselves, we are just focusing on trying to make sure that we put on all the different types of events in different parts of the UK, get people involved, get conversations going. You know, I'm really open to chat with anyone that wants to get in touch with me about it, has any questions at all. The website's burnseries.co.uk. You can contact me through
there. We'll link that down in the notes.
Yeah, cool.
But so obviously the COVID times had a lot of effect on events. Hopefully now we're moving through that. Like you say, you're looking forward to this year, the next few years. Are you seeing like a bit more of an upturn in people like signing up for these kind of events? Maybe from before COVID? Or are you seeing the numbers get to a similar stage, like 2019, for example?
Yeah, so in 12 years of running the events, I've only ever cancelled one event, and that was the COVID year. The year after, I had the biggest attendance. So I think, you know, people came out of lockdown and out of COVID, and they were like, we need to do stuff. You know, we've had a really good, strong start to the year because we're putting more races out there now. And we're getting a lot of interest. There's a lot of people kind of joining our mailing list just to find out what's going on. You can find that on the front page of the website and social media as well. We're Burn Series AR on social media. There's definitely a lot of interest. And like I said, because adventure racing sort of dropped away over the last few years, the core group of people are sort of scratching around trying to find, you know, something to do. And now that we've managed to put up all these races, we've got four different brilliant event directors running all of these different races. You know, there's definitely interest and it's growing. And there is a limited number of spaces though in each event because of the kayaking. We're obviously limited to certain numbers. So they are going to sell out really quickly. So it's well worth having a look now and getting signed up.
No, that's great to hear that it's having a good rebound after a down year for pretty much everybody, which wasn't fun. But it's good to hear that it's kind of on the rebound. So if I'm a complete novice or I've done a few like a basic adventure race, what's your like top tip for starting adventure racing or getting into it? Is it just sign up for a race and take in the experience, or is it maybe jump on the mailing list so I get a bit of information, or is there like a Facebook group you guys are part of that I could kind of see stuff about? What's the best tip for somebody who's newer to the sport?
Go onto the website burnseries.co.uk, choose the date and the race and the venue that works for you, sign up, number one, because if you haven't got a goal, then you've got nothing to train for. So get that goal in the diary. Like I said, grab a couple of teammates because you're going to have so much fun if you do it, as if it becomes a shared experience. So I would definitely say, you know, get a couple of people from your local club or box or gym. On Facebook, there's also a group called UK Adventure Racers. Again, I'll put a link on our Facebook page for that, so you can see. In fact, you'll see it from there anyway.
And yeah, that is we'll more pop of it a, on there.
Yeah, that's more of a chat one. That's not so much here events. That's more, you know, I'm looking for a new bag for adventure racing or what trainers are someone recommend, etc. So there's a really great group and it's quite active. You've got some of the Britain's best adventure racers on that website that have got years and years and years of experience. Everyone's really open to sharing. Everyone wants to grow the sport because once you get in it, you get into this community whereby everyone just is the same kind of person. You all share the same passion. You all want the same thing. And, you know, it's a really lovely community. So, so there is, we'll put it in the link to this podcast, the link for that. And then get out and just have some fun doing a bit of training. You know, if you're already following this podcast, you're very likely to be a sporty, active person anyway. So you've probably already got the fitness there. It's just how you're going to challenge it to achieve something. You know, hopefully you'll come to one of our races and you'll cross our finish line and get your nice big medal and fall madly in love with adventure racing and want to do more. So, yeah, it'd be lovely to see some of you there.
No, that's great. There we go, listeners. So number one thing, sign up, have a goal, get to a race, check out one of these amazing events that Maria is putting on this year, and hopefully you will enjoy it immensely. Maria, thank you so much for your time today. It's been amazing to talk to you and learn more about adventure racing here in the UK. And from Multisport Media, we wish you luck with all your events this year, and hopefully we will maybe try and get down to one. Maybe we'll cross that finish line ourselves.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks a lot.